Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to HRN on Tour at Charleston Wine and Food 2022. I'm Katie Mosman-Wadler. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Christine Sykes-Lowe. Hey, Christine.
Hello, everyone.
We are wrapping up day one of our live broadcast from the heart of the Culinary Village. This episode is made possible thanks to the support of Ben's Friends and Indigo Road Restaurant Group. And we have some incredibly special guests joining us as we get ready to... We're wrapping up our day. You guys are just getting started. We have with us two members of Lake Street Dive, Mike Calabrese and Bridget Kearney. Welcome, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So you are the headliner tonight, and we were lucky enough to snag you before you go on, but you just got into town. Tell us about your day, what you're excited about.
Well, I got up and went to see a friend of mine who lives in town, someone that I grew up with in Iowa, and who lives here, and so had a great day walking around, hanging with her and her kids, and then I just arrived on site really like a half hour ago, and so I'm kind of taking it all in and imagining what I'm going to be doing for the next 4.5 hours, wandering around. I've got a glass of wine in my hand now, and I don't know how it got there, but...
you ask and you like shall here. Receive.
Yeah. So it's quite a sight to behold, actually. This it seems like everything's just, you can take whatever is out there.
It's all up for grabs.
Some of us, yeah.
It's, yeah, free food.
Yeah, so pretty great.
How about you, Mike?
Yeah. I went to the gym, which was very nice. And then just came back here. But we've been coming to Charleston for years and years and love it every time. It's nice, especially for us Yankees, to get down here during this time of year. And the weather's beautiful and it's very relaxed here. It's very nice. We're looking forward to the festivities.
Part of the Southern charm.
Yeah.
So, obviously, not your first time to Charleston. What kind of restaurants have you partaken in when you visited here?
Oh, man. A lot of them are... Home Team Barbecue? Is that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one, Lewis, too. We go to Lewis.
Oh, Lewis. Awesome. Yeah. Lewis Barbecue. I'm trying to think of... Oh my God! There's so many like restaurant names that are something and something else, and I feel like I'm trying to think of the.
It throws me off every time when you get into the airport and it's caviar and bananas, and then everything
right.
else. Is
caviar and bananas.
I know,
yes,
every time.
They have great, actually, gluten-free sandwiches.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
I've never stopped there. I'm usually like running out to get here.
Right. Yeah. Oh, but a great food town for sure.
And so, when you're on the road, you're obviously you get to experience a lot of different things. Are there any big food cities that you look forward to?
Absolutely. I mean, we've been touring for maybe 12, 15 years, a long time. And I think the main lesson is that there is good food everywhere. And, like, it's fun to get to explore that, like, across the country and around the world. It's honestly, like, one of the best parts of being a touring musician is the fact that you get to go to all these different places and try all these different, like, cuisines. Memorably, I mean, like, going to Japan and Australia and, like, yeah, those tours are always highlights because of the kind of stuff that you can get abroad that, things you never would have tasted before. And
like what? Give me an example.
Well, did you try puffin in Iceland?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What were your feelings about that?
It was really good.
Do you have complicated feelings about it?
Well, they're cute, but, you know, also, like, a lot of animals are cute, so...
True.
Well said. But, you know, I don't eat meat much anymore. But I do remember also about Iceland, they had like a incredible hot dog scene. Funny enough, they of course don't call them hot dogs, but I remember them specifically being very good, very well done.
It's in Austin?
No, no, in Iceland.
In Iceland?
Yeah, in Iceland.
Oh. Are they puffin' hot dogs?
That I didn't ask. I just, you know, as the guest.
I think with hot dogs, you just generally like you don't necessarily need to ask what's in there.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah,
that's their tagline as a country.
So you all have been in band for quite some time. Can you each talk a little bit about how you got involved with the band and your histories?
We got involved with the band on the same exact day. So our former guitar player, who's the founder of the band, who actually lives in Charleston, he got us together in a practice room at college in May of 2004. And he was like, all right, if this band works, it's called Lake Street Dive, and it's based on this street in Minneapolis, where I'm from, that has a bunch of cool dive bars, and we're going to be the kind of band who would play these bars. And then we jammed, I guess, as we used to do. And then now, almost 18 years later, we're still doing it. So Bridget and I knew each other in school, but we entered that room with Rachel at the exact same time that night. And it just started. Yeah, little did we know we'd be at Charleston Food and
Magic
Wine.
Was going to happen.
Cool decade and a half or so later,
and here
we are. Yep. And so things got a little wild after the last Charleston Wine and Food in March of 2020. What have the last 2 years been like for you?
Different for sure. Like, we were not playing shows for the first 10 months or so, maybe even, no, longer, I guess 13 months, I think we went without playing shows. And things got a lot quieter. We weren't getting to experience a new cuisine in a new town every day. And it was, you know, certainly challenging, but also had its moments. And we kind of explored some virtual concerts and also some virtual teaching. And we were very stoked to get to start playing shows again.
What about the creative process? Were you writing during that time?
No, we had just finished recording a new album late February 2020, and came home from the recording, and 3 days later it was like full lockdown. And so we were able to mix that record, but we had to sit on it for over a year to like release it. And we still haven't officially announced a record release tour, although we've been playing songs from that album, just because we've been like, we're going to book these shows, but let's see if they happen, especially, you know, when we first got back out there in 2021. And, I think folks were maybe writing a little bit on their own, but, you know, I have two kids now, so most of my time was just like being at home taking care of kids and, you know, cooking my own boring meals over and over again and, you know, that sort of thing. So it wasn't a very fruitful time in that sense, but as soon as we got up and running again, it's, you know, now we're back to it, discussing what's next and feeling creative again.
You have anything on tap that you can talk about?
We certainly do have something on tap. I'm not sure if I can talk about it, really.
Yeah.
But
talk about it. Come on,
the higher-ups
would
be very upset.
Yeah, no. I mean, we're always kind of like thinking about what the next thing is, and having been together for 18 years, it's just kind of like you get used to this flow of, making one thing and then taking some time to sort of take things in again and remember like what music you like listening to and what kind of things you're curious about and care about in terms of like what you might want to write a song about lyrically And so, yeah, I think it's always nice for us to do that individually and then kind of come together and share with one another, like, what we've been listening to, what we've been thinking about. And that always, like, is a step along the way towards, like, what becomes our next album. And, yeah, so... Yeah.
Well, I have a question, and it's about a particular song of yours, Love to Food. Okay, oh, the laugh. You have to explain that one.
Why'd you laugh, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, the first reason I'm laughing is because I don't know how you know that song.
It's a deep cut.
It's not released. You can find copies of this album floating around online on eBay and stuff like that. Exorbitantly overpriced. Yeah, that song, Love to Food, that was written by McDuck. The lyrics are very blunt. He heard a lady once say that just because I'm on a strictly Wayne diet, Wayne being her husband, it doesn't mean she can't check out the buffet. Meaning, she can look around. You know, she won't sample the buffet, is I guess implied, but. She's allowed to feast her eyes, if you will, on other foods besides Wayne, I guess.
There's a certain parallel to you two sitting here having just arrived at the Culinary Village and looking out at all of these sampling stations before your eyes and sitting here.
Yeah, I mean,
about
we can check out the buffet.
We can
and
check
we
out
will.
The buffet. Yeah.
And they better be ready for us.
Oh, they will, I think. And I hope you get some time to really take in and enjoy that.
Oh, yeah.
You too.
I know all of you are in Brooklyn, except you are getting ready to move to Vermont.
I am, yeah.
Okay.
I need the forest. You know, too much concrete.
I live in the mountains, so I know that. I need to be out in open air.
Well, I think one thing that maybe listeners would be interested to know is that I run a chip blog. It's about chips. So it's kind of like a microcosm of our travel experience and finding different foods wherever we go that are special to that place. And so this is just specific to chips. So... it's at Chipscapes on Instagram.
Chipscapes.
And so what I do is I go out on a little chip hunt wherever we are, and I search the local bodegas. I find, like, the weirdest, most distinct, special flavor that I can find, and then I go find a beautiful landscape in the place and hold the chip bag in front of the landscape Chipscapes.
Yeah. What's your Charleston chip of choice?
I think I've shot chips here, and it was it was maybe like some type of pickle, like Low Country pickle or something it was called. And it's just kind of on a backdrop of like one of these beautiful homes down by the Battery.
Colorful, but if I can put out a suggestion, I don't know if this counts as quite as a chip, but we had dinner at Home Team last night, and one of the things we ate was pork cracklings served with pimento cheese. So if you need a sort of alternate chip and dip situation, might I recommend?
Really, yeah, it's fried, it's crunchy.
I fully endorse that.
Is a pork rinded chip is like a
well, part of my real fascination is I think stemming from like a Willy Wonka. You remember that scene in Willy Wonka where there's the gum and it like it's a 3-course meal, and like I just always loved that, like the possibility of like creating something tiny that has like a gigantic flavor profile. So like. The artificial flavoring is really what I'm interested in.
Or it starts as barbecue, then goes to sour cream and onion, and then goes to... Yeah.
Can we end up banana pudding?
Or, I love a chip that's, like, turkey dinner, you know? And like, you eat the chip, and you taste, like, the rosemary and the turkey and, like, a little cranberry in there, and,
I think you're onto something. Yeah. I don't know. I think you need to grow with this.
Yeah, I may have another you know side project career in this if it ever
chip taster.
Off. Yeah, chip taster. Yeah.
So our time is rapidly running out together. We are incredibly excited to see you on stage tonight, like right over there, because you are headlining tonight's Nightcap event. But I want to ask you this. We have been asking people a lot, honestly, for the last almost 2 years, because we keep thinking we're kind of like out of the woods, right? But, you know, we ask people what has been inspiring you during this time, and I'd like to ask that in an open-ended way, but also if there's something that you draw on in the food or beverage space, if there's a comfort food that makes you feel grounded or connected to your roots, or something that just has kept you going through the last couple of years, what would that be?
Wow, food-wise. Well, you know, my wife used to be in the wine business, and wine has definitely been a big part of the last 2 years.
Comfort to us comfort. All.
Very helpful.
Yeah. Well, I'll say that, you know, especially when it's like, I was mentioning my children before, and you have, you know, your home and your running around with your head cut off sometimes. Having quick, delicious, healthy meals is possible. And so this whole idea of fast food has kind of like lost all meaning to me, thankfully, the past couple of years. And I don't know if you guys know about this TikTok pasta craze that happened.
Oh, the feta?
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
This is one of the great gifts for me that the internet has offered as a parent, because it's inexpensive and easy and delicious. And you can like add whatever you want. Have you heard about this? It's basically you roast.
Give us the recipe, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you roast olive oil, fresh cherry tomatoes, and feta in a pan.
Like the block. You just like
the block. You just
put
the block in there. You put a bunch of pepper on it. And then after 45 minutes, you mix it together into its own sauce, and you just add pasta to it. And it's like, I mean, it's good. Like, my daughter thinks it's mac and cheese, and we know it's something way better than that, you know, than a box. And, you know, that was one of those. It was like, I would look at my wife and be like, is it TikTok pasta night? And we'd go, yes, it's that kind of day. And we know we were going to get a good meal out of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think for me, like, the, in general, sort of taking away of things at the beginning of the COVID lockdown, like, led to a lot of, like, counting one's blessings about things that we sort of took for granted as having all the time. And, so in particular, food related, like, first couple of months of the lockdown, I was like, you know, buying groceries for 2 weeks and trying to, like, only go to the store every so often and, like, not getting any takeout. And I'm not a good cook. And so the first time that I ordered takeout, it was about 2 months into the lockdown. And I'd been eating my own drivel for for 2 months. And then I got this steaming bowl of this like Caribbean ramen restaurant in Brooklyn called Moe's Original, and I was just like in tears. Like, I was like, this is the best thing I've ever tasted in my life.
Yeah, we got to take care of those restaurants.
Yeah.
Well, here to that. Thank you both so much for joining us. I wish we had more time, but we're excited to see you tonight. Thank you so much for joining us on HRN, and I really hope you'll come see us in Brooklyn. We'll have pizza at Roberto's.
Yes, you talked it up. I'm there. Thank you very much, guys.
Please take us up on that invitation.
Yeah.
Christine, thank you so much. We're going to have more of you tomorrow and Sunday.
Thank you.
And giant thank you. Thanks to all of you for listening to HRN, our live coverage of Charleston Wine and Food Festival. And a special thanks to Ben's Friends, an addiction and substance abuse support group for members of the food and beverage industry, and Indigo Road Restaurant Group for making our coverage possible. You can listen to all of our content on our podcast, Heritage Radio Network On Tour. Find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. That wraps us up for Friday, day one. We'll be back tomorrow, so please tune back in. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. and we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.